The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharpening any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, it's a critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So you show yourself approved unto God, a workman does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We engage in our studies this morning where we pick up in the text, Genesis chapter 44. We'll begin with verses 1 through 5. The natural man does not understand the things of God and is not even capable of so doing. This recognizes the presence of the sin nature in the fleshly body of the human race. The fact that believers continue to engage in sin, and when they engage in sin, they are in a state of carnality. Their flesh is the rulership over the real you, over the soul. And in that capacity, they remain ignorant, if you will, in regards to the spiritual aspects and teachings in regards to Bible doctrine. In order to perceive these things accurately and to understand them as so designed by God, it demands that the believer priest deals with the sin in the life through the rebound technique, 1 John 1:9, and after our prayer or confession, being filled with God the Holy Spirit in that capacity, we are then in a state of spirituality, and with the grace apparatus perception of God the Holy Spirit and rulership over the real you, we are able to be enlightened to the truth of doctrine, of which obviously the sin nature otherwise distorts in regards to his misunderstanding or lack of understanding in these things. So it's always our custom to give everybody the opportunity to make the most of the time in regards to the next hour or two at hand and the study of God's Word, and that is by making sure you're in fellowship. And the evidence of that, obviously, will be your undivided attention and concentration to study to show yourself indeed approved, a workman unto God, not to be ashamed. So with that in mind, we'll start with our usual normal word of prayer. Father, again, thank you for your many grace and mercies. Thank you for yet another opportunity to study the truth of your word. We ask that you bless us as we gap these things and to utilize them in our own thinking and frame of reference, come to recall as necessary in application in regards to our own Christian life, and that otherwise we advance ourselves spiritually and maintain and stay the course in regards to your plan for our life. We ask that God the Holy Spirit will once again this morning enlighten us to truth and the matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. After a couple of weeks of concentrating on our drinking in our life, we'll get back to the text from which we drew the doctrine out to review in this respect. And here in chapter 44, the translators of the Bible give us a chapter break, which there is real no break in regards to the narrative. The scenario continues on, extended from the feast that previously was enjoyed by Joseph and his brothers in chapter 43, ending it. In this chapter, we have what we title Operation Silver Cup. This will be probably the most nefarious, vindictive harm that Joseph tries to bring upon his brothers. And that is in the accusation of the theft of this cup and having it planted in their youngest brother's sack, Benjamin. In verses 1 through 5, these verses we titled The Trap is Set. So let's look at first the Hebrew language here to ensure an accurate translation. That's the pastor's responsibility when he's teaching the Bible verse by verse. Recognize that the English translation you have of the Bible is simply that, a translation. It's the original language that were inspired, and it behooves everyone to recognize that translators can go off, as we have seen even in the New American Standard, in the Tulies in regards to certain aspects. So the words and their meaning have impact, as well as the grammatical impact of the language in and of itself. Verse 1, then he being Joseph here, commanded his house steward, saying, house steward being the one who is in charge of his household affairs, not unlike the position he held with Potiphar or earlier on in his days of slavery. You have the wow consecutive followed with the PL verb in perfect third masculine singular, tsawa, T-S-A-W-A-H, to command, to make a command, to order. He charged here with this order. Assign a direct object, your relative pronoun, a share, A-S-H-E-R. Follow with the preposition all, A-L, and then follow with the noun, common masculine singular, construct with the third masculine singular suffix, bayet, or noun for house, would translate that whom, your relative pronoun, was over, your preposition, his house, hence his house steward. Saying is your preposition lamed with the cal infinitive, construct amar, A-M-A-R. Functions basically like a circumstantial participle in the Greek, indicating the verbal aspect of the command. Fill the man's sack, men's sacks, with food as much as they can carry, and put each man's money in the mouth of his sack. You have the imperative or the command, the verb, PL in form, masculine singular, mala, M-A-L-A. PL is intensive, means utterly fill, hence fill completely. Fill it to the brim. Sign a direct object, what they fill is their sacks that they will use to store the grain, and which obviously has compartments, as we've already dealt with, for their own personal effects. And we had the word used for their inner sack here, the upper liner or purse, as it may be referred to, a luggage bag within the cargo sack, common feminine plural construct noun, ametachat. It's only used here in Genesis, A-M-E-T-T-A-C-H-A-T-H. So the idea here, the sacks of, the idea is to fill to the brim. Even the extra compartment will be completely filled up, obviously, with what we see is going to go in here, the silver. Food will be, once again, provided for them for their travels as well as their personal effects. The men, that's the brothers, common masculine plural absolute, ish, I-S-H, here with food. Common masculine singular absolute, okel, O-K-E-L, followed with the preposition kof, and the relative pronoun is share, A-S-H-E-R, according to which. Then our verb translated can in the English is the ability to be able, is a cal in perfect third masculine plural, yakal, Y-A-K-A-L, K-A-L. They are able here to carry or lift. You have the cal infinitive construct, common verb to lift, is nasah, N-A-S-A-H. And, wow conjunction, follow with the imperative again, cal, verb, masculine singular, seem, S-I-Y-M, to put, Money is literally our word for silver, which was a common exchange metal, has been throughout history. A common masculine singular construct, keseth, K-E-S-E-P-H, silver, money of. That's each man, a man, denoting their individual property of sacks and their own individual purchase of the grain. Common masculine singular, absolute ish, again repeated, ish. Preposition bet, followed with the common masculine singular construct, peh, p-e-h, that's mouth, of the sacks, a metacoth, again, that noun used, common feminine singular construct, third masculine singular, suffix, a-m-e, a-m-e, t-t-a-c-h, a-t-h, in the mouth of the inner sack, that is, on the top portion. And then the bag would, obviously, you could close it, then you could close the bag in and of itself. And that would sit on top of the grain or whatever they're storing underneath it. In verse 2, then the deceivous part of the whole ordeal, and put my cup, the silver cup, in the mouth of the sack of the youngest, and his money for the grain. And he did as Joseph had told him. You have the wow conjunction, sign of direct object. And then our noun for cup, common masculine singular construct, first common singular suffix, gabia, G-A-B-I-Y-A. Here, the cup of silver, my cup, the cup of silver. The common masculine singular construct, gabia, repeated. Follow with the definite article and our noun, again, for silver. Common masculine singular, absolute, keseth, K-E-S-E-P-H. And then you have the cow and perfect second masculine singular verb, seem, to put, S-I-Y-M, in my cup, the cup of silver, you will put, in the mouth of, literally, the inner sack of the youngest, is the literal Hebrew preposition bet, our noun for mouth again, peh, P-E-H, common masculine singular construct, mouth of, a metacoth, A-M-E-T-T-A-C-H-A-T-H. The youngest is a definite article with the adjective masculine singular absolute, kathon, the least, hence the youngest here dealing with age, Q-A-T-H-O-N, and the wow conjunction, sign of direct object, and then our noun for silver again, hence his money that he used to purchase for his grain, common masculine singular construct, keseth, K-E-S-E-P-H, his grain purchase, common masculine singular construction, construct with the third masculine singular suffix, shever, S-H-E-B-E-R. And he did as Joseph had told him, while consecutive, our verb to do here, cow and perfect third masculine singular, asah, A-S-A-H, preposition kaf, follow with our noun, common masculine singular construct, dabar, matter or thing, B-A-B-A-R, according to the matter of, or just as a matter of, Joseph, which he spoke, literally. You have the proper noun, Joseph, followed with the relative pronoun, asher, A-S-H-E-R, spoke, again, is the P-L, perfect third masculine singular, the bar, D-A-B-A-R. As soon as it was light, the men were sent away with their donkeys. As soon as it was light, you had the definite article, followed with the common masculine singular noun, absolute, or noun for morning, boker, B-O-K-E-R. Followed with the cow, perfect, third masculine singular, verb, for light, or, O-R, in the morning it became a source of light, would be your literal translation, that is the crack of dawn, as soon as you could see beyond your nose, this scenario occurs, Then you had a wow conjunction, definite article, or noun for men again, common masculine plural, ish, ish. Then you had the nifal, perfect third common plural verb for to send away, shalach, shalach. The nifal denotes a passive tense, that is, an outside agent was booting them out, if you will. They were being sent away would be a proper translation. Emphatic pronoun, third masculine plural, him, they themselves, H-E-M, and their donkeys, wow conjunction, common masculine plural construct, third masculine plural suffix, noun, kamor, C-H-A-M-O-R. Verse 4, they had supplied, just gone out of the city, just being supplied, gone out of the city. Again, our preposition, a pronoun, him, a third masculine plural, they themselves, focusing in on their activity, H-E-M. Then to gone out of, or had gone out, is a cow, perfect third common plural, yatsa, Y-A-T-S-A. In other words, once they exited the city limits, Joseph then rouses his steward and gives him this command. You had to sign a direct object, definite article, or noun for city, common feminine singular absolute, ear, I-Y-R. And we're not far off timing it, so they didn't put too much distance between them and the city. Negative particle lo, L-O. Then you had the hifil, which is causative. Perfect third masculine plural, rakach, R-A-C-H-A-Q. Not having cause to go far. And Joseph, well, conjunction, or when Joseph, proper noun Joseph. Said, the cow, perfect third masculine singular, Amar, A-M-A-R. To his house steward, again we have the preposition Lamed, followed with the relative pronoun Asher, A-S-H-E-R. Preposition Al, A-L. To whom was over, if you will, his house, common masculine singular construct, noun, third masculine singular suffix, Bayeth, house, home. And he gives rapid commands, up, follow the men. And when you overtake them, say to them. You have the cow imperative, masculine singular, our verb to arise, up, Q-U-M. Hence, prepare yourself is the idea here, as generally you will see the action of their motion of going, following the verb. So, arise, get up, pursue or follow. There's a cow imperative verb, masculine singular, radaph, R-A-D-A-P-H. Literally, after the men. Adverb, acare, A-C-H-E-R-E-Y, after. Definite article, noun for men, again, ish. I-S-H, common masculine plural absolute. And when you overtake them, you had the wow consecutive, followed with the hifil verb, perfect second masculine singular, verb with third masculine plural suffix, nasag, N-A-S-A-G, shows that Joseph concludes that indeed this will happen, and you will overtake them. And then you, when you do, wow consecutive, say, cow, perfect, second masculine singular, amar, A-M-A-R, and you will say to them, preposition L, in their presence, third masculine plural suffix attached to the preposition E-L. Then you have the interrogative particle lama, L-A-M-A-H, why or for what reason. Have you repaid evil for good? You have the PL perfect second masculine plural verb shalem, S-H-A-L-E-M. Did you repay or recompense is the idea in a total response to the good. Did you repay or recompense? Then our adjective for evil, an evil thing, is the idea. Feminine singular absolute, ra'ah, R-A-A-H. Then you have the preposition takath, T-A-C-H-A-T-H, instead of, translated simply for. Then our noun for good is a common feminine singular absolute, tob, T-O-B. Verse 5, as he is to continue to converse with these men, is not this the one from which my Lord drinks, and which he indeed uses for divination? So he is make accusation without a direct reference to the item. interrogative particle ha, H-A, followed with the negative particle lo, L-O, is not, question mark. Then you have the adjective masculine singular, ze, this one or this thing, C-E-H, followed with the relative pronoun of share, from which, A-S-H-E-R. Then our verb to drink, a cow in perfect third masculine singular, shatha, S-H-T-H-A-H, he drinks. That being my Lord, being none other than the vizier whom he serves, Joseph. Common masculine singular for struck. First common singular suffix, adon, A-D-O-N. Then you have the preposition bet with the third masculine singular suffix, with it. That's reference to the cup in verse 2, the masculine gender. Then you have the wow conjunction followed with the personal pronoun, third masculine singular, who, emphatic again, H-U, and he himself. And then our translation uses for divination. You have in the Hebrew two verbs back to back, same verb repeated, nakash, N-A-C-H-A-S-H. First one as a PL infinitive, practicing divination or divining, if you want to put it that way. He will divine is the literal Hebrew. We've seen this type of construction throughout Genesis to note a two-leveled aspect of a completeness of the subject at hand, the activity at hand. PL, and then the second verb is a PL imperfect third masculine singular. With it is the preposition bet with the third masculine singular suffix. And then his final statement, you have done wrong in doing this. This is then the direct accusation that he makes. He accuses him point blank here. You have the hifel perfect second masculine plural of the verb raw. R-A-A, you have caused bad or evil, literally followed with the relative pronoun of share, A-S-H-E-R, that which, then our verb to do, cow, perfect second maximum plural, saw. You have caused evil or bad, that which you have done, literally. All right. Rereading here these six verses, 1 through 5. Verse 1, then he, Joseph, ordered or commanded, charged his house steward, saying, fill the men's sacks with food as much as they can lift. Would be a clear translation. Carry is the idea, but to get the full flavor of it, not just carry, but to pick up off the ground. And put each man's money in the mouth of his sack, in the upper lining. Verse 2, and put my cup, the cup of silver, the silver cup, in the mouth of the sack of the youngest. and his money for the grain. And he, the steward, did as Joseph had told him. In verse 3, in the break of day, in the dawn, as soon as it was light, the morning became light, the men were sent away, they with their donkeys. Verse 4, they had gone out of the city not far, literally, not far off, when Joseph said to his house steward, "Up, arise, follow the men, and when you overtake them, and you will overtake them, say to them, why have you repaid evil for good?" Verse 5, "Is not this the one for which my Lord drinks, and which he indeed uses for divination? You have done wrong in doing this." Now says verses 1 through 5. One, in spite of the uninspired chapter break in the text, there is no break in the flow of the narrative revolving around an afternoon of heavy drinking that concluded chapter 43 in the festivities of feast 43-34. That's where we left off here in the narrative, as he took portions, Joseph took portions from his table and gave Benjamin five times more than what he did the rest of the brothers. And then it concludes their afternoon of enjoyment of alcoholic beverage. So they feasted and got drunk with him. And again, we have dealt with that in detail. Yes, believers do get under FCA and will step over the line in regards to the freedom of Christ on occasion. And one must understand that the chapter breaks, the verse numbering that we have in our Bibles, was put there simply for the convenience of the reader to be able to locate the verses and different aspects and sections of the books of the Bible. They are uninspired. They're not inspired. God the Holy Spirit didn't say, "All right, chapter 44, verse 1, and then verse 2. No, when you look at the Hebrew text, it's just nothing but words. And even the Hebrew text, the Masoretic text, they'll at least put in small script, the chapter and verse breaks for even the reader there. So, as it is with any book that has any length of content, one might divide it up for easier reading. So here, the narrative continues, the flow of the narrative is designed to continue on, picking up with the fact that, okay, now they're all drunk. So two, sometime during the remainder of the day or evening, depending on how long they drank, drinking parties can often go for several hours if everybody's in the mood. Joseph here, so during the remainder of the day of that afternoon, the feast didn't start till noon. So they didn't start drinking too early. We're not going to start drinking in the morning. We'll wait till lunch. So sometime in the remainder of what day was left, or in that evening, Joseph issued further orders to his house steward, Sher Abayah, verse 1. Three, in spite now of having become drunk, Joseph's orders reflect a cohesive and determined plan. Joseph is drunk, but it doesn't stop him in following through with this plan of his to upset his brothers in a big way. So four, this suggests and supports a plan that had been thought out prior to the feast. He schemed previous to this. The whole feast thing, the whole scenario of embracing the brothers on this occasion, as we have pointed out, it's designed to keep them off balance emotionally, mentally, etc., in regards to the situation at hand. And this so Joseph can follow through with an ultimate aspect of this plan, this hidden silver cup in Benjamin's sack. 5, so the events of chapter 43, or 44, probably should be. So the events of chapter 44 reflect a cleverly devised scheme put into play by Joseph, not deterred by a lack of sobriety. Even though you might include the activities in 43 to a certain degree. Six, a scheme that ironically was suspect by his brothers earlier, that their presence at the ruler's house was a setup or trap. The whole thing, initially, they thought the whole thing was a setup. It was a scheme based on Joseph's activities to send him to his house. As we saw back in chapter 43, verse 18, the men were afraid because they were brought to Joseph's house. And it's because of the money that was returned in our sacks the first time that we are being brought in, that he may seek occasion against us and fall upon us and take us for slaves with our donkeys. So they were suspicious, to say the least, initially when they showed up at the house, that there's some kind of scheme going on here. Well, guess what? 7, they were being set up, just not in the way they assumed it. And that's probably one of the more obvious things that occurs with the brothers in their interaction with Joseph through the whole ordeal. Nothing is ever as it seems to be. And nothing ever works out the way they think it's going to work out. See? So, indeed, their suspicion was right. But because of their own confusion of thought and not knowing whom they're really dealing with, they project that the reasons are for something different than what's really going on, and that is their brother Joseph is being extremely vindictive and revengeful towards them during this period of their history. So they were being set up, just not in the way they assumed. Point 8, the bait here was to lull them in this particular scenario. The bait was to lull them into complacency as to any further fear that this ruler was out to get them. The house steward played his role in this part. When they gave their concerns regards to why they were brought to Joseph's house to begin with. No, that's not it. I have nothing antagonistic directed towards you. I had your money. Don't worry about it. The whole ordeal, the feast, and feeding them at the second most powerful person in the world's home, private home. All this is designed to get them to relax, to become complacent, to now look upon the whole scenario as something completely different than their first experience with him, which obviously vibrated the hell out of them based on Joseph's aggressive and antagonistic type of approach to them. So the bait was now, in this scenario, to get them to kick back, relax. Okay, nothing's wrong. The world's all right now. 9, the hook was set with alcohol that then rendered them inebriated. Their drinking party with Joseph was more than just sitting back and getting drunk together in this capacity. There was a design plan for why Joseph took him down this path. And that is, as they start to relax and become complacent, then getting them drunk, they basically will dismiss almost all things that otherwise that they might have been suspicious about earlier, and things of this nature. And that's completely and totally out of their mind. They've become disoriented in that respect. And that's the hook, that they indulged and went overboard. And patting each other on the back, I love you, brother, and all this other good stuff. That's what's on their mind now. Assuming they're not mean drunks. So, 10, this provided then, getting them drunk. This provided maximum opportunity for Joseph to then, quote, reel them in, quote, carrying out his greatest deception, quote, Operation Silver Cup. Operation Silver Cup is what we will call it. With the brothers either preoccupied as a result of partying or later in deep sleep, as they might have been escorted in after the fact to their rooms, which they're going to be kicked out of bright and early in the morning. In the occasion, Joseph takes advantage of the situation, the occasion, and their state of inebriation. Access then in that condition to their cargo bags could be had without notice. Certain things you gotta, this is why it's so important to maintain context of these narratives. Already they've been to Egypt and they return, and surprisingly, unexplainably, they find their silver returned back in their bags. After they are gone, and not until, as we know, that evening on the first day trip, as one of them reached in there to feed their donkey, do they first realize it, and then when they get home, everybody realizes it. So, obviously, they have been made aware of the extraordinary circumstances occurring when they showed up in Egypt in regards to their persons. And so Joseph is going to take this in consideration. And hence what he needs to do needs to be completely and totally in a way that the men are not going to immediately at least become curious as to their situation returning home on this occasion. All right, so 12, Joseph's command to his residential manager, his house steward, is in three parts here. First, fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry. Malah, Amedekoth, Ish, Okel, Koth, Asher, Yakal, Nassah. B, and put each man's money in the mouth of his sack, while seeing Keseth, Ish, Beth, Peth, Amedekoth. See, I put my cup, the silver cup, in the mouth of the sack of the youngest and his money for the grain. While Gabiah, HaKeseth, Sin, Bet, Peh, Medekoth, HaKathon, while Keseth, Shever. 13, as expected from an adjusted and obedient subordinate, the butler, quote, did exactly as Joseph had spoke. Asah, Kaf, Devar, Joseph, Asher, Devar, end quotes. So we see examples in the Bible of true subservience and orientation and acclimation to authority as it should be recognized and practiced among societies. And with the servant of Joseph, just as he, in his own orientation to his own authorities, when a command was given, people didn't give him lip, didn't ask why I got to do this, blah, blah, blah. They simply did what they were told. And obviously, our military, at least in the past, I'm assuming they still do it to a certain degree, expect people to follow their orders in an exact manner. But our whole attack, societies and governments' attacks on the divine institutions has broken down, really, the chain of command to any really ultimate effect that is designed to have otherwise. Through other deceptive types of practices, these authorities that otherwise are trying to break it down in certain segments of society are all the time seeking to gain more power for themselves. And obviously, our understanding of authority and the doctrine of authority is greatly poo-hooed by many within our own society, as well as across the world, even though different societies have a difference in regards to their orientation to it. Letting children talk back to their parents, and all the parents do, "Now, Johnny, give me a break." Obviously, government has intervened in the past through their social services, and parents can have the threat, the danger, if you will, of losing their children if they happen to strike them in a way that vibrates somebody else around them and they want to report them when it's spanking. Even though the Bible teaches a parent should be diligent in regards to applying corporal punishment like that in regards to their children, it's not going to kill them if you administer it correctly, etc. Wives to husbands, obviously, the whole principle of marriage and the divine institution of family has been and is ridiculed in terms of the biblical principles attached to it. The wife is equal in regards to the husband in the authority situation in regards to the home. That's not what the Bible teaches. And you can either go with the way of the cosmos in your relationships, or you can do what God has designed you to do, and that is apply doctrine accordingly. And the wife is to submit to the husband's authority in all things as is fitting in the Lord. We understand the caveat. No one is responsible to obey any authority that tells them to sin, to engage in sin activity. You have a higher authority you can appeal to. God is not going to jam you for refusing to obey that authority. In other words, like a government telling the military to go in and commit genocide, like in World War II, of their citizens, their own citizens. Understand, the Hebrews were pigeonholed in regards to all this, but most of them in Germany, they were citizens. They had businesses. Don't think that the government truly, not all, obviously, but governments overall respect your right of citizenry when it comes down to the advantage and the means to be able to gain more power otherwise. And obviously, we've seen some very nefarious, insidious activity going on, even in regards to our own military and our own country, how they have embraced foreign nationals in regards to the military. And you don't have to be much smarter than a dummy to recognize that in this capacity you have people that wouldn't think near as twice as a citizen itself might do in the military to go in and kill the citizens of their own country. All these things. I'm telling you, stick with the doctrine. Don't get wrapped up in all this garbage of chaos and confusion that Satan's stirring up in regards to countries across the world. When it comes to authority, the subordinate is to be not only respectful, but obedient. and not just lip service, and not just behind our backs, on the job, your boss, etc. Brown nosers that are always trying to look good for the boss, but when the boss is away, the mice do play scenario goes on. So here, the steward, and I see this not only along the lines of how authority was actually practiced in biblical times, and otherwise, throughout history, as I stated, otherwise. But it's a return to Joseph for his own orientation to authority when he was a servant, when he was a slave. And he's rewarded by having people around him that interact with him in the same way. So, 14, to move on here. The order to fill the men's sacks to the brim means that each cargo bag was stuffed, allowing only enough room in the inner bag at the top, or now a metacot, to squeeze in each man's money with the grain and the food, etc. 15, the weight of the bags was enough to tax the brothers' strength in lifting. That is, as much as they can carry or lift. So they are to fill them up to the brim, whereas a normal male would have to put some real effort in it to pick it up, to put it up on a donkey's back. (clears throat) 16, now Benjamin's bag, as we've seen, was to be singled out. And in it, enough room left to put in Joseph's silver cup, along with his money used for purchasing grain. So he is targeted as a catalyst to Joseph's scheme here. So that's point 17. It is Benjamin that is revealed as the catalyst to Joseph's scheme. He is the main play in his plan to have maximum impact, maximum effect upon the entirety of the brotherhood. So, 18, now the brothers, as we saw, were initially tested as to their attitude towards their younger brother when Joseph served him five times as much food as the others, as we saw in chapter 43, verse 34. So, Benjamin, as we know, is Joseph's only true blood brother from the same mother, Rachel. He's the youngest of the group, born some 4 or 5 years after the last one was born, in the 7 years of the 11 brothers being born, while Jake was serving under Laban. So, he's the youngest of the group. As we know, Jacob, Israel, after the loss of Joseph, now has put his doting on Benjamin, as Jacob's weakness was to show partiality in regards to his wives, Rachel and Leah. And obviously, we understand why he might go that direction. He wasn't wanting to marry Leah to begin with. All that came through deception, but it was God's plan. Obviously, he orients to all this. But that favoritism is extended in regards to the sons from their birth mothers in that respect. And Leah and their maids, who also had Jacob's sons, they, if you will, were second place in Jacob's affection. So Joseph, obviously, Benjamin's the only one of his brothers, with the 10 remaining, that has never done any harm to him. They were not part of the whole kidnapping him and selling him off into slavery some 22 years earlier. So there obviously is an affection that Joseph might have at least a dismissal of any antagonism or animosity as it might be directed to Benjamin, that he obviously is revealing that he has towards his brothers over the whole ordeal. So in the feast itself, he tested the brothers' reactions if he showed Benjamin favoritism. That'll be something they're used to by now, as Jacob's been doing it for how long? However, even if the brothers had reacted with some jealousy on the occasion, that in and of itself would not reveal to Joseph what he really wanted to know. It might be somewhat of a natural reaction without any lingering animosity attached to the jealousy of why does he get more than the rest of us. But as we saw, no comment was made, and nobody made any adverse comments with respect to that. But that occasion in and of itself didn't really tell Joseph what he was looking to find out. And that is point 20. That is, have his brothers alienated Benjamin over the years that they had with him? Have they been treating him, Benjamin, with hatred like they treated him when he was back living with them at home earlier? Or have they transferred their hatred with a new target and take it out on his younger brother? So essentially this is what Joseph is trying to draw from them if he can come to a conclusion in that regards. So 20 again, that is, had the brothers alienated Benjamin over the years as they had with him? Question mark. 21, to know this would reveal whether the brothers had continued to nurture hatred towards his person by transferring it and taking it out on Benjamin all the way back at 37:4, as we saw when Joseph, in his role out of the brothers, he was the phase two positive brother. The adjusted believer, essentially at that time, at least, in their lives. And the brothers did not like that, especially when he came up in regards to the dreams, a prophecy of subservience to him. And that was 37:4. His brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, and so they hated him, could not speak to him on friendly terms. And that was following Jacob providing him with the extraordinary multicolored tunic or coat that was given to him as a special present. And that was Jacob's expression of appreciation for Joseph's positive wish, you might say. But still, it showed partiality. So the brothers overall, his Mr. Goody Two Shoes to them, always keeping them in check, if you will. He might tell on them if they were doing something that was wrong in his father's eyes, things of that nature. Not that he was a tattletale per se, but things that obviously that would have a negative impact. And you got to consider that, you know, nobody wants to be a tattletale, but if somebody's doing something that's going to cost somebody big time, life, value, any other aspect of life, then the proper thing might be to go to an authority and reveal to them what's going on. So, obviously that takes discernment to know that when not to be a squealer, and when it is appropriate to report things. So to know their attitude and alienating Benjamin is what Joseph is really after. To know this would reveal whether brothers have continued to nurture hatred towards his person by transferring and taking it out on Benjamin 22, or have the years softened their hearts, allowing love and unity to gain its rightful place in the family priesthood. And that would be obviously an indication at least of some remorse and regret from what they had done earlier to Joseph. So simply a psychological evaluation is what he's trying to extract from them, and where they're coming from now. Are they still the jackasses they were 22 years ago? Or has things changed? And people do change over time. So 23, if so, in other words, they have regained some integrity in life, love, compassion, the things that one would normally expect from people that at least has good morals and ethics. If so, that would suggest that doctrine and conscience has had a positive effect on the brothers experientially, in spite of their blatant weaknesses otherwise. So 24, this concept and thought will either extinguish Joseph's FCA revenge pursuit or further fuel it. So here we have, if you will, a switch that you can look at. His revenge pursuits here under Operation Silver Cup. And what he sees in regard to his brothers and their attitude now will either continue to fuel him and continue to be vindictive, continue to be revengeful, or it will extinguish that. And ultimately, we know, his hatred or his vindictiveness, Joseph's, is extinguished. All right, let's take our break.